Thank you. Next item on the agenda is item five, County of Westmoreland, 09-0118. Mr. Bacon, good morning.
I had received a letter yesterday, emailing late yesterday from BDOT. I just want to go ahead and hand that out.
That'd be fine.
Westmoreland County 090118 requests authorization to construct a 5-foot wide open pile community tending pier extending 25-foot channel water mean low water. Pier will be within the court ordered apportionment dated October 4th of 2002 and adjacent to the county landing situated along the west of Comico River in Westmoreland County. The project is protested by one of the adjacent property owners. I'm going to show you location here. This is the town of Kinsale right here, and this is the public landing that's been there since the early 1930s that I can verify is it at the end of State Route 1005. There's another topo of that area, and this shows state in 2002 the State Route 1005. And this shows what is there today in the 2007 region pictures. The project site is situated along the Western Comico River in the town of Kinsale in Westmoreland County at the end of State Route 1005 and has been maintained as a public landing since the early 1930s. The Purdue Grain Elevator loading site and the Kinsale Harbor Marina are upriver of the site, but the surrounding lots are residential. A county-maintained tending pier previously existed at the landing, along with an oyster shell and gravel boat ramp. The boat ramp and the pier are located within a 30-foot-wide parcel that is maintained by the county. The original tending pier was 70 feet long, while the proposed pier will be 25 feet channel water to mean low water. The reduced pier length will keep the pier within the court-ordered apportionment that was completed in October 2002. The purpose of the pier is to provide a safe loading and offloading of boats. Given the size of the roadway and the nature of the ramp, we expect that only small boats will use the facility as well as the local fire department. The project is protested by Mr. and Mrs. Joseph C. Harris, the adjoining downriver property owners, which is this house right here is the Harris's, and this is their pier right there. They are concerned with the potential adverse environmental and safety issues as well as upland impacts a proposed pier may cause. In fact, the Harris's private pier extends to the designated riparian line between the landing property and theirs. Several letters of support have been received as well as a petition with 166 signatures in favor of the pier. Westmoreland County Wetlands Board did not evaluate the project since governmental projects are authorized by Wetlands Zoning Ordinance. The Virginia Institute of Marine Sciences and the Shoreline Situation Report, dated October 10th of 09, had no opposition to the community tending pier as long as the pier was built with the following guidelines for shading. The Health Department informed us that the project is in compliance with their sanitary rules of marines and marinas and boat moorings and want the county to put a plaque there saying there's no long-term mooring and or boats with dumping facilities on board are allowed to use it. By letter dated March 6, 2009, the Department of Conservation and Recreation indicated that they had no issues with the project. Mr. Robert Pickett, Fredericksburg District Environmental Manager for the Virginia Department of Transportation, informed staff that the county has a vested interest in the uses of the road and the tending pier at the end of Route 1005. He also stated that there was a tending pier at the site previously and that it was used by the local government as well as the citizens of the county for public access. He indicated VDOT is in full support of the tending pier at this site. By email dated 13 March, Game and Inland Fisheries has no objected to this. The Army Corps issued an RP-19 for the pier. And the project does not encroach on any OSHA grounds nor other state agencies wrote anything for or against the pier. I'm going to show you some pictures. Here it is. This is the Harris's area right here. It comes down. And this is the apportionment that was 2002 given here. And the apportionment goes out to the minus 5 foot contour. And this shows the apportionment right here. And this is what was given everything at the end of Route 1005. There's what 18.95, which is this section right in here. This section right in here, and this is the Harris's right in here. And this is the revised thing. Like I said, originally they wanted a 70-foot pier in there, but I talked with Mr. Grab and everything, and we decided to move it back to 25 feet from mean low water to the 2.5-foot contour. This way, boats would be on this side, and this side would have issue being in the, would be in their own riparian area. They would not be encroaching on Mr. Harris's riparian rights there. This shows the regular bracing, how it's built. This is a 1935 map. I also have a 33 map that shows that 105 is a public landing all the way down to the water, but this is the best picture of all of them. It shows a 105 going all the way down to the public landing. And these are going to be pictures of the area here. Again, this is Mr. Harris's place right here, and this is the State Route 1005. And this right back here is the Harris's Pier. And this shows where the old pier used to be. They're going to pull all that stuff out of there when they put in the new one. And this is the Oyster Gravel boat ramp. Again, it's up view from the water up to the houses. And then this is, again, my last picture, showing the Harris's Pier along with the pier to the left and where the mooring, where the old pier used to be. The Tenney Pier will replace a pier that had existed since the early 1930s, but will be reduced in length by 45 feet, keeping the pier in the court-ordered apportionment area for the landing. As such, there is no encroachment into the adjacent riparian areas. Although the neighbor's pier extends to the shared riparian line, there appears to be adequate space for access to the landing. Staff does not anticipate any significant adverse safety and or environmental impacts associated with the proposed tending pier. The staff believes the proposed pier will provide a valuable water access amenity to the people of Kinsale and Westmoreland County. Accordingly, after evaluating the merits of the project against the concerns of the protestant, and after considering all factors contained in 28.2.12.5A of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends approval of the project.
Any questions of Mr. Bacon by members of the commission? Mr. Grab, do you have a comment?
One minor correction.
Please.
The actual court order was not 2002. That was the survey that was used. The court order apportionment was dated May 2003. Judge Spruill, who's since retired, was the judge that actually entered the apportionment in the area. So
okay.
It's May 2003 apportionment based on a 2002 survey.
Thank you very much.
Sorry about that.
That's, a lot of details. Any questions by members of the commission? Thank you, Mr. Bacon. Is the applicant here or represented Westmoreland County?
Yes, sir.
Would you like to address the matter?
Good morning, gentlemen. My name is Charlie Wrightson. I'm the wetlands coordinator for Westmoreland County.
Raise your right hand. Solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, self you God.
I do, sir.
Proceed, please.
One of the things that we try to do, according to our planning commission and our county ordinances, is to gain access for the public at waterfront, wherever possible. It's becoming more and more difficult all the time for the average citizens of the county to enjoy the waterfront, to be able to get on the waterfront without paying money. And as you guys mentioned a little while ago, money has become a big issue for everyone. We are looking for access for our entire community, no matter what their socioeconomic situation may be, to enjoy the resources that we have at hand. We are currently actively looking at a couple of other sites as well as this one. We have a gentleman here today, Mr. Davis, who is an ex-member of the Planning Commission, who is currently in a citizens group that is going around and finding locations for possible county public sites for water access. This project is basically neglect. The county neglected this site. They left it here, deteriorate to the point where it left. And the county is trying to rectify that mistake at this hearing. Thank you, gentlemen.
Any questions of the gentleman? Mr. Schick?
The closest public boat ramp in Westmoreland County to Kinsale?
It is approximately 10 miles away. It's on Bottoms Creek.
And then next is almost up to Coles Point area?
Yes, sir. It would be Branson Cove.
Branson Cove. And then Colonial Beach, probably.
Yes, sir.
Further questions? Thank you, sir. Anyone else here in support?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Come forward, please. Raise your right hand. Solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
State your name, please, for the record.
Clay Lewis.
Proceed.
I'm a resident of Kinsale, member, past president of Copeland District Volunteer Fire Department. On behalf of our community and fire department, I appeared before the Westmoreland County Board of Supervisors and submitted a request for this pier. Residents have been using this land freely and uninterrupted for well over 100 years. One gentleman, older gentleman in town, is in his 80s, recalls his mother telling him stories about when she was a little girl and visited the public landing way back then. Our fire department maintains the only boat equipped for both fire and rescue work on the Virginia side of the public, on the Potomac River, excuse me, between Colonial Beach and Smith Point. In our immediate area on the Yocomica River, we have over a half a dozen marinas that would benefit from us launching in town from the landing. Not just for boat or marina fires, but any boating incident or emergency on the river. We are fully licensed by the Commonwealth of Virginia as medical first responders. As a fire department with our 911 dispatch system, we have the potential to assemble a crew within minutes and be on our way to the scene of any incident, whether it be fire, medical, or hazardous material spills. The fire department needs this pier to do our job in the most efficient manner possible, and the community needs this pier to enable its citizens to continue the opportunity to take full advantage of the beauty of our local pristine creeks and waters. And that pretty much sums it up.
Any questions of the gentleman? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Is anyone here in opposition to the project?
Yes, sir.
Go forward.
Good morning, sir. I'm Joe Harris. I'm the adjacent property owner for the pier project down in Kinsale. This is Mr. David Bailey from the Environmental Law Group up in Richmond. I've asked him to articulate some things that he's better qualified and better able to you. But I would like to personally address the commission and
oh, you need me over here. Okay.
Sir, raise your right hand. Solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
State your name again for the record, please.
Joe Harris.
Proceed, please.
I'd like to point out the physical orientation, and I've got a little different view of this, and I think we provided it to you. It's an overhead view, and if I just kind of like to go through to give you an overall picture of what's in this code, not just the pieces, parts that you've been presented so far. And then I'd ask that Mr. Bailey be given some time to talk to you about, as I said, matters that he's better suited to talk about. This is in tab E of your package, the proposed pier.
You're referring to the package that we sent you.
Right. The proposed pier is right here. And you know, there's one, two, three, four piers there. This pier was put in after just a couple years ago, after the overhead photo was taken. This is a working granary, as you may may know, barges moor here. There's an inboard mooring here. We normally have two barges there throughout from early July all the way through the end of the fall, early winter, and a tug moors there. Copa Volunteer Fire Department here, and so this is the landing that we're going to take that boat to. This is the Kinsale Harbor Marina. Okay, it's got 75-foot concrete ramp with a dock, lighted, has water. I talked to the owner just recently and confirmed that anytime the fire department needs to use that ramp, they can. There's parking there, and there's obviously turnaround in the basin. So I just point that out for reference. There's an honor box at that that the owner told me he was removing to allow free access to the water there. I cannot confirm that has actually been done. Back to the proposed site. This is the state right away 1005, 30 feet wide. There's no turnaround down here. This distance is over 200 yards. This is a state road, this is a state road, this is a state road. So there's no parking here, and there's no ability to turn around. So what people have to do to get to this water access from this road, which is the main state road in Kinsale, they have to back a trailer down a hill, around a 35-degree turn, and down to the water, okay? It's not an easy water access. It's not something somebody's going to do in an emergency very quickly. That's a much shorter trip into the water. And as I said, three state roads, there's no parking. So there's an issue. There's an issue with parking. Where do you park your trailer?
Those areas are basically out of the purview of the Marine Resources Commission. We're concerned, for the most part, about what is down in the water aspect.
Well, yes, sir.
I know what point you're attempting to make, but there have been certain rulings that say that we should be involved in making decisions that are based upon subaqueous bottomlands is what we're doing.
Okay. The pier itself, and this was done before, I understand from a piece of paper I got from the Army Corps that we're going to scale this back, and you heard about it, 25 feet. This was done obviously before that. This pier points directly at my pier. Now it's in its riparian area, but it could be in its riparian area and not pointed at my pier also, either in this longer configuration or in the shorter configuration. And for the life of me, I do not understand why there is an insistence to point this pier at my dock. Now, this is my pier, and it is not my design. The Army Corps of Engineers and BRMC were integrally involved in designing this pier. They actually drew it out for me. I put my pier in where I was told to put my pier. I combined two lots to do that. So I didn't devise this, and I never submitted this hook that hooks my pier up here. And as a result, I think it seriously disadvantaged this property when the Corps did that. But I didn't get a vote in that. And if I was going to have a pier at all that got to navigable water, that's how I had to do it. So that's what I did. That's why this pier is hooked like this. This is not something that benefits me at all. And I'll point out that despite the inability of the Army Corps of Engineers to correctly measure the water at my dock, the water over here is deeper than the water over here. I have 3 inches between the bottom of my sailboat and the bottom of the river, and at this point right here, and that's the only point that my pier touches the navigable water. So it's not like I have the option of moving anything around, really, to adjust where I put my boat. Additionally, a pier here with 8 feet between me and between the riparian areas of this dock and my dock, essentially make this unusable for me if this is a public dock. Because if you have 8 feet, and I have an 8-foot boat with 4 feet between them, how does either of us maneuver? You've all been on water. How does someone maneuver in 4 feet without bumping into a boat? So essentially what we're saying is, Harris, the rest of this pier is, you're not going to be able to use it.
This pier, as it's designed and as it's pointed, does not conform to the riparian survey that was done. You've heard about the apportionment. The riparian survey to support that shows the navigable water line curving. This pier does not conform to the general flow of that. And it could and still stay in its riparian area. I think I'm beating a dead horse on that one. The way it's designed divides unequally the water area between the two docks. Now, with four docks down there, it would seem to me that you would want to divide, if you're going to put a dock in there, and I'm not advocating that, but if you're going to put a dock in there, you would want to equally split the water between the two, and that could be done. I mean, I don't want to get into the details of dock design with you, but within its riparian area, the size it's in, it could be done. The significant issue to me is the congestion that this pier creates down here. We're jamming a pier in a cove with a working granary and four existing private docks. This dock will be 20 feet from my pier. It's just plain too crowded. And it's unnecessary given the fact that there's a pier right here, a launch ramp. I'm a retired surface warfare officer. Spent 26 years at sea. I've commanded three Navy ships. I'm a licensed U.S. Coast Guard commercial master, unlimited. I sail commercially. I'm qualified to tell you that this is too crowded. You'll notice all the slips in the marina, but I also call your attention to the configurations of the actual piers. Now, this is a very crowded by nature environment, but the piers in the marina, not the slips, but the piers, aren't within 25 feet of each other. Nowhere on the Yukamiko River are two piers within 20 feet of each other, and nowhere in Westmoreland County is a county pier within 20 feet of a private pier. There's a reason for that, and the reason is that you've all been on the water. You know what happens down there? We need that safety. None of us are infallible. I'm not infallible. Somebody using that pier is not infallible. We need that safety margin. And 20 feet for a public pier and a private dock just isn't there, particularly when I've got this little hook up here that kind of occludes the entrance to the waterway. And people can come out and look at that in the middle of the winter with no traffic there and say that's great. But when you actually visit that site on Sunday afternoon in July in Kinsale, it doesn't look anywhere like it looks in that overhead picture you saw. This pier makes a marginal area worse. Its design creates unnecessary congestion. It creates safety issues, as you heard, on the road. There's no parking. There's no turnaround. There's no way to get to it easily. And it pretty much ensures private property damage. Now, I assume that we all want to improve water access for Kinsale, and I want to be very clear to the commission. I have not ever and will not ever deny that Kinsale has a right at this location to water access. That you've heard that ramp has been there since 1930-something? No. I've done the research on it. That has been there since colonial times, in one form or another. And I would never dream of trying to deny access there. However, as it exists today, it is ungoverned, it is unmaintained, and it creates a nuisance to me and to the other adjacent dock owners. Here's what I would do to solve this. A pier down there doesn't make sense, but a good ramp surely does. And I would take this area, which is more, it's got its problems. I can't solve the problem that since a pier was built there long ago, the properties have all been subdivided, and there are docks that have been put in and properly permitted and properly designed at all. I can't solve all of that. But you could make this marginal area a little better by making that ramp, fixing that ramp. It's got a huge hole to the left side of it. You can't back straight into it right now. We could fix that ramp. We could grade it.
Sir, the ramp application is not before the commission. What's before the commission is a dock, and what might be at this juncture is not before the commission. What's before the commission is a pier application.
I just didn't want to sound like I was griping without that.
Understood.
So, in summary, for me, the simple answer here is to keep this area open and to keep it governed.
Thank you. Questions from the commission? Dr. McConaughey? I'm sorry. Mr. Tankard.
Mr. Harris, how long has this area been in this repair or disrepair? You're an adjacent property of some length and may have some. You mentioned you
okay.
Have some
what I can tell you from personal experience since 2001, since I started coming down, that the county has done nothing to it. As I researched this property, at some point, probably 35 years ago, there was a pier there. It was not what you and I would call a usable pier. But before that, from the 1930s all the way backward, there's no indication there was ever a pier there. So I don't know if that answers your question or not, but I can attest that the ramp itself hasn't been touched in the last 8 years.
Further questions? I guess, Mr. Harris, the question I have is, when you purchased the property, and you were very astute in your research, did you perceive that things may one day be the like they are today as far as the erection of a structure or something that you would deem to be an impediment in this location?
I'm not sure I understand. Did I think that there might be something built there again?
You said that you had basically researched the area back to colonial times.
Well, this is in preparation for this.
Okay. But you didn't do that prior to purchase of your property?
No, I knew that that was a state road. I didn't understand the nuances of state road versus county or any of that, but I knew that there was access there.
Okay.
I also knew that there had been a pier at one time there, but it couldn't be reconstructed as it was because it actually sits on my property, part of the start of the pier. So I knew something had been there, but that something couldn't be recreated there as it was before.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Tankard, follow up.
I have one more question. Yes, when we look at the picture here, and I look at the map of your dock in relation to the proposed dock, I too have worries or concerns about safety. Where will you dock your sailboat or other boats?
This point right here touches the minus five foot, and that's the only part of my property. My sailboat draws 4'9", so I don't have any option but to put it right there. So this is my only access slip to navigable water.
So it will be tied up on those poles right on the on this side, the
yes,
ramp
sir.
Side.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Schick?
You were discussing only having an 8-foot clearance. And I'm not quite sure. Can we put up the overhead view that we have as a two? I guess it's 2-6.
Just tell me where to stop.
Up, yeah, back. Well, that's good. Okay. I see where your boat would be. Your boat would be docked right on the long side that's on the inside there. Okay, and I see the red end of the pier. So a boat goes down the ramp, ties up next to it. Where is the 8-foot clearance that you were talking about?
Anywhere in here. The entire side of my dock. My riparian area extends about 12 feet off the dock. This point right here is by... I haven't seen from BMRC the latest dock design, but I'm guessing it's in the vicinity of 20 feet because the Army Corps gave me a print, and it said 20 feet at this point. So I'm using an 8-foot slip width and a 12-foot riparian area. That's how that 20 feet is occupied.
Okay, but there's really only about two foot of water, 3 foot of water.
Well, yes, sir, you bring up a very good point.
I mean, between the docks.
This dock, there seem to be some measuring issues going on with how this is portrayed in the application. The water at the end of this dock is 2 feet. It barely touches the 2 feet line. If you use the riparian survey that we're all, that everyone is wed to, if you measure that from mean low water to the end of this dock, it barely touches the 2-0 line. So, yes, in answer to your question, this is 2 feet of water here.
Right.
Okay.
So there's not going to be any navigation between the two docks, except for
small have boats here.
Small, you know, 14 footers and
50 foot or rowboat.
Sure, absolutely. Small boats.
Small boats, yes, sir. No, my sailboat's not going to get there.
Right. Okay.
Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to be clear, looking at diagram 2-6 and then trying to relate that to the picture that's up here that we're looking at right now, the ramp, in fact, is located on the north side of the pier, not the south side. So it's actually on the opposite side of the pier relative to your pier.
The ramp is, yes, sir.
Right. And so if a vessel is launched, the idea is that this would be a tending pier.
Right. So he's got to come around to my side to put his boat there so he can get his trailer out there and someone else can launch.
But if a boat comes up to the tending pier, it could tie up on the ramp side for removal as well.
Well, sure. There is the option. Hopefully the prudent mariner will do the prudent thing. But if there's already a boat there, what does he do? And the assumption that this is not crowded enough for that issue to occur doesn't exist. I mean, I think we've submitted a picture of what any given Sunday looks like in that area down there.
Mr. Graham?
Yeah, and I'm not sure how the piers used, but when the permit was initially issued, what you'll... This is a 16 by 30 foot platform. So I'm not sure the length of the boat, but when the pier, you'll see that there are mooring piles here. I think when the permit was issued, it was contemplated that the large boats would be on this side. There'd be no way.
Sir. No, sir.
Well,
no, sir.
Right. There's no way that the commission would authorize mooring piles on the other side. So
are those mooring piles permitted?
Well, these would be private non-commercial.
Okay.
But the requirement for a private non-commercial is that they be within the riparian area.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with mooring a large boat on this side is not just the fact that, you know, the 30-foot would hit into the pier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it would extend this way, and if you had to put mooring piles, the mooring piles would clearly be outside the riparian area. I can't imagine the commission authorizing such an encroachment. So whether due to shoaling, you know, the boat is being moored, I think these mooring piles at the time that the pier was constructed contemplated that the large vessels would be on the right side of the pier.
Sir, I need to address that comment because that is not...
Brief follow-up, sir, because we have an agenda, and I think Mr. Bailey, if you've brought him here, he's got something to say.
The Army Corps of Engineers designed this, and the reason that those pilings are over there instead of over here, where I initially asked them for, and for this pier to be out here, which would have relieved any congestion there, is that the Army Corps was worried about a pier closing this cove down. The Army Corps insisted... First of all, it insisted on how far away where my pier went. Wetlands prevented me from running a pier down here because this is all marsh all the way up here. I had no option but to start at the 20 feet from the property line point, and the Army Corps turned this and put the pilings over here to my, really, to my disadvantage because there is not the same water here that it is.
Well, let me ask you this. From the naked eye, and I can't scale it from here, but it looks to me that if you were to move those mooring pylons an equidistance from the side that they're currently located over to the other side, they would be clearly within the 2002 survey. Would that be correct?
No, sir.
It would not be.
The riparian area, my riparian area, this one...
In other words, it's not centered in.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you. Further questions? Did you want Mr. Bailey to speak?
Yes, sir. I think Mr. Bailey, I'll thank you for your time, sir.
Pleasure. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the commission. I submitted a substantial package of material. Did the commission members get that?
That's Mr. David Bailey. He's an attorney.
I'm sorry. I'm David Bailey. I'm an attorney representing Mr. Harris. I'm sorry.
When did you submit those, Mr. Bailey?
It was sent to FedEx on Friday to arrive Monday morning.
We haven't received anything.
Okay.
It didn't come yet,
so
I'm aware
of it. You didn't get the FedEx?
No.
Oh, well. Take that up with FedEx then.
That's what I was thumbing through when the gentleman.
You haven't received it even today.
No, sir.
All right. Well, I'm going to, with the chairman's commission, with the chairman's permission, I'm going to ask to either submit my copy of that for the record today, or, since this is my copy, provide you with a copy the next day or two, but I'll replace it. Oh, here we go. All right. Perfect. I'll put Mr. Harris's copy into the record, if I may.
You may.
Well, unfortunately, you can see by the FedEx sent to Mr. Harris, it was sent last week.
Saturday, so probably overnight.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. What that means then is that I kind of have to rush a little bit because I know the commission doesn't want to take all day on this hearing, but that's about a 9 or 10 page legal memorandum on issues in this case, with 7 or 8 photos, attachments, and other maps, which, quite frankly, you need to see. But I'll try to summarize this for you. There are two legal issues which I raise in this case. The first one is ownership of this land. Now, this doesn't have to do with whether it's maybe used by the public or not. It has to do with who owns the land. And I cited the case law in my memorandum to you. If you do not have the owner of the land in front of you, you are without authority to process the application. That's what the statute says. That's what the case law says. I assert to you today that you do not have the owner in front of you, or as an applicant, or at least you have no substantial evidence of that. Now, we have tried to verify who the owner is, too. There is no deed. There is no plat. All you have is a series of maps from the highway department. Now, you're probably familiar with this. I imagine you've encountered it before. This has to do with the 1932 Byrd Act. If you had county roads platted before 1932, when that act was passed, the county road automatically became owned by the county. That applies to pre-1932. You do not have a map pre-1932 showing this road in its present location indicated as owned by the county. You don't have it. You do have maps after 1932, 33, 34, 35, one's undated. They are inconsistent. The staff showed you the one map, unfortunately, they wanted to use. They did not show you the map of a later version, and I say it's later, it's not dated, but judging by the quality of the print and the quality of the copy, it is later than that map. It shows that road turning inward and not going to the river. So those maps do not provide you, I respectfully suggest, with the substantive evidence you have of ownership. Now, I also want to show you something that my client, you always have to beat up on your clients, he chose to show me this today. I want to put this into the record as well. This is...
For the record, they came in yesterday afternoon. Little, in all due respect, okay. And taking up with the commission and members, that's a lot of stuff to digest with that in a day's worth of work.
Okay. If you could pass that out right now, it might be helpful because at least they may want to look at
that. Sure. Be glad to.
I'm glad that's at least made it. I also want to put this document in the end of the record. This document was just handed to me this morning. It's called an adjacent property owner's acknowledgement form, standard form you guys use. This was the form that Mr. Harris got when he built his pier. I, Virginia Department of Transportation, am the property owner whose land is adjacent to this site, et cetera, et cetera. Virginia Department of Transportation owns this land, gentlemen. They are not the applicant. I'm sorry. Secondly, I don't want to be critical, but I think it was very clever that the Department of Transportation sent an email over to you saying the county had a vested interest. That's disingenuous. The Department of Transportation knows what ownership is. They are not your applicant. Maybe they'll come back another time, and we'll go through all this again. But they are the owner of the land. They are not the applicant. And with all due respect, gentlemen, you don't have any authority to go any further. Now, that's that legal issue.
I haven't looked, Mr. Bailey, at your legal memorandum because
I didn't
get it filled this time.
The commission is not authorized to make title determinations. Its permit issuances are based on applications, and to the extent that private parties contest the right of somebody to construct a permit or to construct a pier, I think that's a private matter between those parties. And I don't see, I'm not aware that there is any prohibition against the commission from granting a permit application upon the representation by somebody that they are the proper party to be applying for it.
Council, I know you haven't seen my memo. You may want to look at it while I'm going through the other issue that I'm raising, because I cite the case law that says this authority has, this commission has no authority except by a owner of riparian land.
Could you give me the name of that case?
Yes, it's in the memo. I'll direct you to well, it actually starts at the bottom of the first page, and you can just read through the next page, and it gives you the cases. It starts with Sapula, you know, and we all know Sapula. That says the commission doesn't determine property rights. But then there's the Smith Mountain Lake case, the Evelyn B. Commonwealth case, and the statute, which I cited. And I cited the pertinent part there for you. Only the owners of the riparian land. And in fact, the Supreme Court said, and I'll quote for you, it's essential part of MRC's responsibility in considering an application for a permit to determine from such evidence as may be available whether the applicant proposes to construct his facilities in the waters opposite his riparian lands. That's code 62.1-3. The agency would have no authority to issue a permit if that were not the case. That's the Pool of the Friends. And I understand, Council, you may have a different opinion, but that is the case law and the citation.
And I suspect that was dicta in the Zapula versus Crown case as opposed to a holding.
And it's the holding the statute.
Pardon me?
If you check the statute, you'll see it's lifted from the statute.
Well, the statute says in the waters opposite riparian lands.
Okay, I'm not here.
It doesn't say the commission has determined that is the owner.
I'm not here to argue with you. That's our legal position.
Okay, and in the present time, your legal position is we can proceed.
Okay. All right, that takes me to the second issue. There's a variety of things that the commission has to consider. And not any one of them are particularly determinative, but they all have to be considered. One of the items by statute that you must consider is the effect on the adjacent property owners. And, Mr. Chairman, with all due respect to you, sir, I think you cut Mr. Harris off way too soon, and I object to the record for that.
That's fine.
I think the commission, in my view, in my argument to you, the commission has a statutory duty to consider the effect on adjacent property owners. And when you're talking about a pier and a ramp here,
yep,
that's the thing that affects adjacent property owners.
Mr. Bailey, council has a rebuttal to your comment.
I'd just like to mention that the statute doesn't specifically say anything about
adjacent property owners. It talks about the effect on adjacent properties, and an old Attorney General's opinion, which you're all aware of because we had brought it up in several cases recently, the Palmer case, the Evelyn case, the Boone Pier case, is that the commission considers the physical and direct physical impacts of a proposed project on adjacent properties. On adjacent properties and direct physical.
Okay. Well, we just simply have to disagree on that. So I'll make my last few comments about that so it'll be on the record, and I'll be done. My position is, and if you look at the, I think there's a photo in the package here. I believe it is G, photo G, and photo H. Now, what those photos show is exactly what the Department of Transportation said to you in its memorandum. There is not room to turn around in this area. You have only the 30-foot width of that road easement to work with. You'll see the picture there of a boat owner trying to hand lift their trailer to get it around so that they can get turned around and try to go back down the road, as opposed to backing out that long, I don't know, 150 yards, whatever it is, down that road here, which a lot of boat owners, with all due respect, will never be able to do.
Or can back a trailer.
Or, well, I didn't want to go that far. But so what you have there is you have a situation where, even though this may have been for public use for some time, it's too small. You have no public facilities to put in there. There's no parking place, not to mention any other facilities. So anyone who brings a boat in there has kind of log-jammed the whole place. Well, now, I thought the main purpose of this thing was to provide for emergency fire access for the fire department. Looking at that picture, how do you think the fire department is going to get anything in that launch ramp? But more importantly, my client wouldn't care if this was a fire department ramp. And fire department people are responsible. But if you look at that next photo, unfortunately, the local citizenry are not very responsible. If they don't have the room to turn around, if they don't have the place to park, then they will use the adjoining property. There's no trespassing signs have been torn down. Trees that he planted have been cut. And the fence, as you can see in that picture there, was pushed over, because people simply don't have the room to negotiate in that small area. That gentleman is called a nuisance. Now, I understand this commission would say, oh, well, public nuisances or private nuisances are for the locality to decide, they're for a circuit court to decide. I submit to you my argument for the record that that constitutes a per se nuisance, and a per se nuisance is contrary to your public trust requirements, and it's contrary to your requirement to not adversely affect adjacent property. Neither you nor the county, and I'll take that up with the county, can create a situation which is going to be a nuisance to the adjacent property owner and say that's okay, that's within the public trust, and that's a satisfaction of your duties. I wish it were different, as my client has said. There may be some uses of this area that can be done, but if you set this up, approve this pier, set this up as a public pier and ramp with all of its ramifications, people are not going to be able to stay on that little 30-foot strip of land. They just simply aren't going to be able to do it. And it has nothing to do, Mr. Schick, with whether there are other public ramps available. Everybody's in favor of public access to the water. It's like all the stuff that I deal with. Everything in its own place and in its proper place. This is not the proper place. So with that, thank you very much for your patience and time, sir.
Ours is yours, Mr. Bailey. Thank you for your presentation. Any questions of counsel? Thank you, sir. Anyone else in opposition to the project? The applicant has 2 minutes to rebut if they'd like to say anything. Westmoreland County, okay. Matters before the commission for discussion and action. Counselor, do you have any further comments at this point?
Well, I just mentioned the public trust doctrine. By statute, it refers to Code Section 1-200, which says that basically the common law as it existed at the time we became a independent country and a state is the concept of the public trust that is applicable to commission decisions under Chapter 12. And the Supreme Court of the United States has identified that public trust document as protecting the right of navigation, commerce, and fisheries in the trust area, which is the water over the submerged land. And with respect to the ownership issue, I guess my comment would be that the real owner of that property would certainly have standing to object to construction of a pier and a ramp from that upland property. But we have nothing indicating that anybody else is the real owner or that anybody else purporting to be the real owner has objected to construction. It seems to me that the email received from VDOT this morning is something along the line, I don't know if Mr. Bailey saw this or not, saw this most recent email, but it kind of indicates that VDOT is deferring to the county with respect to the end of the state maintenance area and the portion of the upland from which the pier would be constructed.
Thank you. Any questions of council? Matters before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Schick.
I'm very familiar with this area. I'm a Westmoreland County resident myself. Although I'm at the other end of the county, I'd just like to kind of give some of my insight as a marina owner who has a ramp where the fire and the rescue squad used to use. The problem is when you have a commercial establishment and you want government access to it, it gets to be a problem because we do have a lot of customers down using the ramp. You have to secure the ramp so only your customers can use it, and it became an ongoing problem for the rescue squad and the fire department to use the ramp. Unfortunately, the town-owned ramp is not a good access for their particular boat because of the draft. I donated 2 slips to the fire department and the rescue squad so they can use that ramp. And instead of using the ramp, they use the slips now. That's something that obviously is not being done here in Kinsale. And I appreciate the local marina saying that the fire department can use that ramp. But that when they need to use the ramp, they need to be able to get into it. And that ramp at that marina is used a lot more than the ramp that's existing on this site. So the traffic question is if you got to pick one, you certainly want to use the one that's least used. Now, I certainly hope that the county and the fire department would certainly try to protect anybody from damaging the next door neighbor's property by posting signs maybe that would say no turnaround, back in only, these types of things. That would be something that I would expect the county to do. But the ramp and the access to the ramp is not the issue. Those things are there. The access to putting a pier there is the question. And I would wholly support having the pier there. I'd like to move so. I understand the concerns, but some of those concerns are out of our purview. And hopefully that can be worked out with good stewardship of this ramp from here on out.
Further? Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As we look at the code, 28.2.1205 says that we are to consider the public and private benefits of the proposed project. It also directs us to consider the project's effect on other issues, including
other reasonable and permissible use of state waters and state-owned bottomlands, marine and fisheries resources, adjacent or nearby properties, as has been discussed. But the bottom line is, it doesn't say that there can't be any impact. It, you know, we're charged with balancing out the benefits, the detriments, and rendering a decision based on how those things stand up to the factors that we're to consider. And I think here, you know, we have heard about some private detriment, but as I look at it, the you know, there is clearly a public benefit. There is some need for access by emergency services. That's clearly public. There's a public access issue that's broader than that, that also comes in terms of public benefit. I think these things outweigh the potential detriments. Furthermore, specific to the siting of the application and the pier, where the ramp is, this pier is located immediately adjacent to that. It's further away than the location of the original pier at the site relative to the protestant's property, and it's clearly within the riparian area that was court apportioned. So, you know, I think as a tending pier, most of the activity would be concentrated on the north side of it. I don't think it represents an unreasonable burden to the adjacent property owner. So I think, again, the public benefits outweigh the private detriments, and I think it's clear that the code does not say that there can't be any detrimental impacts, but rather we have to balance these things out, and I think the balance is on the side of the applicant.
Further comment?
Yes.
Mr. Tigert?
I did as well have concerns about safety when you look at the photos and the map. Relative to public safety, you can see the potential for congestion in that area, but at the same time, given the decreased size of the ramp, of the length compared to what it was, I don't think safety is an issue that it was in the past, and I don't think it is an issue that is something relevant to the future. So thus, I support the applicant as well.
Further comment? Mr. Fox?
I just noted in Mr. Bailey's packet here, and by the way, Mr. Chairman, these are the originals that Mr. Bailey just gave me. I'm passing them back to you.
Thank you.
The photograph, I think, is behind H, shows crab pots on the ground, and I would think that Westmoreland County should police the area and make sure that things like that are not left on. But I support the other members who have spoken, and I think it's the right thing to do to have the pier. If anything, the pier will provide protection on Mr. Harris's side of the property.
A number of different issues. When I look at that photograph, I kind of turn things around, turn it backwards, and look at what was there to begin with. You know, let's go back to the earlier days. What was there to begin with? And clearly the road, the ramp, as by evidence by the applicant's been there for a number of years. The pier apparently had fallen into disrepair. We also go and look at the design of the protestants, and I should have meant the protestants' testimony as far as the pier location, but look at the lay of the protestants or the design of the protestants' pier, where he does lament the fact that the Corps made him design it in a certain direction, certain configuration. But I think the Corps or whoever, or BMRC, whoever, when they were contemplating the overall design for this specific area to be impacted, took into consideration that roadway was there. Roadway was going to remain there and could possibly be used for future use. So I think that the way the design is was done is one that was contemplated to be in concert with all the development. So I also do find that the emergency services are in need of a launch location, and that bears very heavily in considering factors under the public trust doctrine. So with that, the matter is before the commission for vote. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. Or didn't second? I thought.
I move, but I don't think anybody seconded. I'll second.
Second by Mr. Robbins. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much for the presentation.